So we are at our sixth church in our series of seven. Philadelphia, something that we can pronounce. Judy appreciates that. We know what it means, city of brotherly love. Philadelphia was a city that was kind of an entrance city from the east to those entering the Roman Empire. I recorded my notes electronically because last night the wind was such that it blew everything and it's kind of difficult to deal with. So don't have to worry about that. There's a lot of things that we could talk about in our scripture today in this penultimate letter that John writes to the churches in Asia. But the one thing that stuck out for me this week is this notion of an open door. An open door. Jesus, speaking through John, says that I have placed an open door in front of you. An open door in front of you that no one cannot get in the way of. No one will close. It remains open. Reminds me of Romans chapter 8 when Paul says that nothing at all can get in the way of the love of God that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can impede us. It's not going to be closed. It remains open. Jesus is not just opening the door for us like we were coming in behind him to be polite. Jesus isn't just giving us the key. Jesus isn't just leaving the door unlocked. He's leaving it propped open. Propped open. Saying to us, come on in, the tables are ready. The party is about to start. And if we're unsure, he's given us a key for later on in case we want to come back and check it out when we feel we are ready. What's inside? Once inside, there's warmth, there's comfort, there's food and drink for your soul. The kind of food that never runs out, the kind of food that Jesus was talking about to the woman at the well. The kind of water that you will never be thirsty with. Inside, there is rest for the weary, wisdom for the curious, truth for those who are seeking forgiveness, for those with aching hearts, acceptance for those who have felt shut out and have been turned away by so many closed doors in their life before. Healing. Healing as well for the sick and wounded of mind, of body, yes, and of soul. Open doors are intriguing to us, I think, because we don't see a lot of open doors. In our society, everything's locked up. We talked about that last night. In today's culture, we feel as if we have to lock up everything, right? Small towns like ours used to be trusting places not so long ago. You could leave your door unlocked if you were going into the store from your car without having to worry about someone driving off or stealing something within your car, your car stereo. You even might have felt comfortable leaving your house unlocked. Anyone used to do that in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even in the 80s? Not so long ago. Today, we wouldn't think of doing so, would we? We lock it up. I was told yesterday that churches were like this. Churches were open. Churches were places where you could come in at any time. You could go into the sanctuary. You could rest. You could pray. You could ask questions of God. You could seek help, maybe some peace. Maybe you just needed to get away. Unfortunately, today, we don't feel like we can do so. I lamented in earlier sermons around Christmas time of how we have this beautiful sanctuary beautiful church structure, and we spend so much time making sure that it is well kept. And yet, only a few hours per week do we come into the house of God, the sanctuary, to enjoy it, to sing and pray. Not to get too Catholic, but Pope Francis says that there are some places in our society that should never be closed. Never be closed. One place that comes to mind is hospitals. We don't want hospitals to remain closed. We want those to be open when people need them. Churches should be that way as well. Nowadays, a 24-hour Walmart is more accessible to people than churches are. That's too bad. And I know the realities of the situation. I've seen crimes happen at church. I've seen break-ins. I've seen things being stolen. But we got bigger problems, bigger issues, bigger questions that we must tackle, that God is calling us to look at, other than if the doors were left open at the end of the day or after worship. If you were driving past our church this week, you might have noticed a big crowd gathering in our western parking lot. Did anyone see that at all? Yes? Do you know what they were doing? You know what they were doing? Pokemon. They were playing Pokemon Go. You thought it died. Well, guess what? It's back. It's back. They had a recent update. And last night, there were more than 50 people after our worship here, at around 6 to 7 o'clock to 7:30 maybe, playing Pokemon Go. Our church is a gym. Special creatures and monsters spawn at our church. People come by. People that might have been strangers before come by, and they're all playing on their phone Pokemon Go. Brings them together. They talk. Well, last night I was doing some errands running by, and so I stopped and I started talking to the people. I unlocked the door, propped it open, and announced that if anyone would like to come in to use the bathroom or to get a drink of water, they could do so. Now, nobody took me up on that offer, but it was there, and they appreciated it, and I struck up some conversations about that. They say that there's another church. I don't know the name of it. They didn't say where it was or who it is, but that church was rude to them when they showed up and started playing their game there. So this week, I decided with the sermon, with the message, with our scripture this week, I decided we're going to do a little social experiment, and this was a spontaneous idea I had on Friday. We'll see how it goes. During the day this week, Monday through Friday, from 9 to 4, thereabouts, when I'm here at the church, there'll be some times when I have to be gone, like in Bible study on Tuesday, but from 9 to 4, I'm going to have the church door open, the west door open. It's going to be a propped open. We're going to change our sign that says community breakfast to open door, open church. The church, the door that's right by the Rite Aid side will be open to our fellowship hall. I'll turn our little air conditioning on if they want to sit and rest, if people need to pray, if people need to talk, if they need to get something off their chest, if they need help in any way, if they just want to hang out. We'll have a little bit to eat. If they want to just sit and meditate, if they want to get away from what's going on in their work life or at home, they can do so. Anybody, any of you, anybody off the street, they don't have to be Pokemon players. Anybody. This is the attitude of the ministry of Jesus, I believe. Jesus was all about opening doors. Jesus was a living open door. Jesus said, basically, if you want to know God, if you want to see God, follow me. I will show you. Jesus said, come and I will make you fish for people. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. Do not block their way. Zacchaeus, come with me. I'm coming to your house. I'm going to make your house an open door. Jesus said, pick up your cross, come and follow me. At the beginning of his ministry, Nathanael asked, where are you staying, Jesus? And Jesus said, come and see. He wasn't staying anywhere. He was staying all over. Jesus told a story, a parable about a king who sent out invitations to a party he was having, and all of his invited guests didn't come. So do you know what he did? He said to his servants, go out and just bring people in. Anybody off the street, poor, stranger, doesn't matter. Come in and enjoy this party that I have set up for people. At the Last Supper, Jesus welcomed his disciples by washing their feet. Come, come and let me serve you. Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, did not even need a door. Everything was locked and shut up. The windows, the doors. Jesus just appeared. Jesus insists on opening the doors. Insist on it. Nothing will hinder the love and the power of God. A door stands before each of us today. The question is, will we go inside? We see a door, it might spark our curiosity. We're not used to seeing those, right? What's going on in there? Who is in there? It looks inviting. It's intriguing. The food smells good. The music sounds joyous. There's people inside. Let's check it out. I think what we find there and what God has for us will be something we have not imagined before. What happens when we're in there for a while? And we see the kingdom of God. Does the door close? No. The door is still open. Still open for other people and still open for us to leave. It's a two-way street. God doesn't seek to bring us in, tempt us with sweets like Pinocchio or the Hotel California. No, the door stays open, out in the very direction that we came from. Now, back in that direction, it probably did not look as good as it did before, after we've tasted and feasted on what God has for us. There's darkness. There's pain out there. There's suffering. Maybe we don't feel like going back, but guess what? The invitation is just as strong to leave out the way we came in. Seek to bring others in. Peter, after the transfiguration, wanted to stay on the mountaintop to enjoy the glory of God. But they had to come down. God insisted on it. Now, while we may not be able to have the church open at all times of day and night, you can be open. Each one of us can be open. And we say all the time that the church is not a building, the church isn't a structure. The church is us, the people. So what do we do as people that the church of open doors? What we do is have open attitudes. Open hearts, open minds. We are to carry that with us. An open door in our hearts. What does this look like? Well, people of the church of open doors don't judge a book by its cover. They're willing to give people a chance. They're willing to give people even a second chance. They're willing to forgive. They're willing to listen, really listen to people. They're willing to try and understand somebody. They're willing to try and get someone else's point of view. They're willing to have a conversation with somebody who they might not agree with. They don't dismiss people out of hand. They don't label people without first getting to know them. God knows us. Each and every letter it says in our series, it says that I know you. We're called to get to know others. And in doing so, maybe it'll change us. If we have that open door into us, we're willing to let people affect us. To share about themselves. We're willing to be real with people. People of the Church of Open Doors don't know many strangers. They're there to serve. They're there to help. They're there to comfort, to guide, and to love. How about it, folks? Are we ready to be people of Open Doors? Are we willing to let our church be the church of an open door? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we ask sincerely that you would open our hearts today, open our minds, open our very souls to your presence, so that we, when we leave here, might go out with a sense of mission, a sense to connect, to reach people, to make a difference in maybe just one person's life. Thank you for your acceptance of us, for your love of us, for your grace for us. Thank you for setting us right. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.